All right.
Yeah, from VMworld 2011.
Live at the TechTarget booth on the show floor, even.
Yeah, so TechTarget has a booth at VMworld, and we've been standing here actually for the past hour, and I would say the most popular question for the folks here operating our booth is
what the hell is all this equipment on our table for?
Yeah. Why are you guys here? I think is what we hear most often. One guy yesterday comes up and says, "You guys send out too much emails. You know, you guys email me too much. I want you to stop."
You want to win an iPad? Okay. And he hands out his badge, and we scan it. And now he will get more emails.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of crazy. So what we're going to talk about today is we've got actually a ton of news from VMware. A lot of stuff that they have announced.
And absolutely none of it is from the keynote yesterday.
Yeah, so it was weird because the keynote yesterday was like at 3:30 in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Which is 6:30 in the East Coast, right? And
yeah.
So, you know, it was at a weird time. It wasn't even worth live blogging for. It wasn't even worth having a live show afterwards, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
We saved it for today, and apparently VMware did too.
Although I turned into a snarky bitch during that thing. I don't know if it was my jet lag or what, but it was not, it was a long keynote.
All on Twitter, though.
Today, and Twitter is great because Twitter allows you to make all the jackass comments to the guy sitting next to you that you would have been saying
anyway,
all along anyway.
Right. And you're just making it to 20,000 people.
Yeah.
Or so, 11, as was the case at the end of the keynote yesterday.
Yeah. But anyway, though, so today's keynote was much better. Today's keynote was the technical keynote. They opened, as VMware's CTO, Steve Herrod,
mm-hmm.
They opened talking about desktops kind of right off the bat.
Right. And he's been, I mean, this is my third VMworld. He's done, you know, three keynotes, you know, one each year that I've seen. And, man, like, I mean, every keynote he does is really engaging. I mean, you know, you can tell that he gets the technology and he gets what VMware's doing.
Yeah. And the desktop technology, too. So he's not one of these kind of server guys who thinks that he knows desktop. I mean, he seems to be pretty decent.
Right.
So what's most interesting, though, about what we saw, I guess, you know, I wrote an article that talked about VMware's new desktop announcements. That was kind of a rundown article. We talked about View 5. We talked about Horizon, ThinApp, a couple of different things.
Mm-hmm.
But then about 2 minutes before the keynote started today, we get...
Somebody comes up to us and says, "Hey, what do you guys think about App Blast and Octopus?" And we said, "What the hell are App Blast and Octopus?"
Yeah.
We weren't briefed on this. And he said, "Oh, no, we wanted to surprise you guys." And so we have no thoughts on App Blast.
So here's what we know. But they did demonstrate both of these in the keynote. And so in the chat room, we actually got a couple folks who are asking about App Blast. And let's talk about that first.
Yeah. So we haven't seen this yet. So
I mean, we haven't.
What we've seen so far is what was in the keynote. So you know, we haven't tracked down the lead guy for this, which is Warren Ponder, who we're friends with and we know, and we're going to go find him later. But what we do know about this is that it is an HTML5.
We don't know. Is it HTML5?
It is HTML5 based.
Okay.
And all we know is that it uses common HTML5 technologies to remote an application in the browser.
Yeah. So basically, I mean, it looks a lot like Citrix and Ericom. They have like
and SparkView. That guy will kill me if I don't mention his.
It's like a PCRIP client for the web.
Right.
So they showed,
and it's not doing an entire desktop. At least the demo that they showed is it's not remoting an entire desktop. It's just remoting an application.
Well, and we should get to that because in the demo itself, they show an iPad and they open up Safari browser in the iPad,
mm-hmm.
and you can see the URL is going to like it's an HTTP connection, and they hit the button, but they're using Excel. And so it looked just like
the demo was actually they were showing a client like a Vue client or something an iPad app, maybe it was Horizon Mobile, I can't remember, but it was just a list of your applications, and you could select a file, and when you selected the file, it would say, "Do you want to just view this as a regular file like you could with Dropbox app, or do you want to edit this in Excel?" So you click edit this in Excel, and it switches and opens up Safari and then launches that file in Excel.
Right. And so
interactive way.
And then assuming that you're synchronizing your data sources, then your remote host, wherever this Excel instance is running, will be able to launch that. And we assume since this is VMware, that's based on VMware Vue, we assume there's a Vue desktop session somewhere in the background, and then basically it's like an HTML interface for PCRIP Or actually, do we even know if it's a PC over IP or maybe it's RDP?
No, we don't. Yeah, right. And if it's RDP, that would make sense because that would mean that the published application feature is in there to isolate that from the desktop.
And
there was no
firewalls. I would prefer RDP, right? Because like all the advantages of PC over IP about multimedia performance, if I'm putting an HTML interface on my client, I don't give a shit about that.
But it doesn't matter because this isn't an RDP client. So this is an HTML5 based client, and it said it uses common HTML5 based technology, which to me right now screams Canvas and JavaScript, which is a real quick recap. The JavaScript is what allows you to, or Canvas allows JavaScript to address every single pixel on a screen, and draw that as appropriate. So I think that's what it uses, but I'm not sure. That's what we're going to find out from Warren.
Well, and what's interesting too is, you know, we're discussing, oh, is it PC over IP or is it RDP? Maybe neither.
Right.
It's HTML, like it's their own.
Right. And that, you know, and that's all using WebSockets, and the WebSockets is what actually means that you can't use RDP or PC over IP in the sense that you're thinking of, where it's not directly talking to the iPad in that way.
It's like brokering.
It has
through.
To convert, because it uses HTML5, it has to basically re-encode whatever the remote desktop protocol is, PC over IP, RDP, whatever. It has to re-encode that into a text-based stream and just dump that out via WebSockets. And then on the client side is where that information is taken by JavaScript and converted back into some sort of display using Canvas to draw all the pixels on the screen.
And so they could be doing that through their Vue Connection server, for example.
Yeah.
Like it could be proxying those, and that could be sort of the proxying between your... Because I guess that's no different. Like you're sending PC over IP to your Vue Connection server.
Right. So the problem then is that you don't get, you know, any of the improvements that they've made to any protocol, really, but to PC over IP in particular. Any of those improvements are lost because PC over IP, the communication using PC over IP happens entirely in the data center, and then it's translated and sent over whatever the connection is to the iPad,
which makes sense because
via text. So it's a different. You lose maybe the build to lossless and the features that they build into PC over IP, but you can manipulate that text data in certain ways too.
Well, you know what's interesting? Like, we don't know what the story is here. Like with App Blast, is the story about them having a pure HTML client for devices that wouldn't have like Vue native clients, or is the story about the fact that it's single application and not getting into a whole remote desktop?
I think that this removes Windows that much more from the equation because it doesn't matter then. You don't have to connect to Windows to run Excel to access your spreadsheet.
You don't have to run your desktop, your full desktop with your...
Yeah. But I'm when I say Windows, I mean Windows because I feel like the user doesn't even know what the hell this is. Like it looks like Excel because it's remoting Excel, but I didn't see Windows. I don't even care if
the desktop
is there.
Right. But you don't see the bar. You don't see like the task bar.
Yeah, it was all gone.
You see
the app is running in Windows, but it doesn't matter where that app is. You know, it could be Google Docs for all you care. Like, for all the user cares. In this case, the backend is sending you Excel from Windows, but Windows is just not even talked about anymore.
Well, and so that's actually kind of a good segue into, and I mentioned this on Twitter, and I mentioned this a little bit during the live blog this morning. VMware does a really, this is an amazing demo, and there's a lot more for us to sort of talk about, but what was the big hole in VMware's story right now is you can't have a single Windows app running in a data center. So what I mean is they're talking about, the whole message here is, it's all about the stuff that we talk about all the time, like we have to move beyond managing Windows devices, beyond managing desktops, and getting to all this other kind of stuff. But then they say, okay, so we do that with VDI, with Vue, to take your Windows desktop and deliver it out there. Mm-hmm. But then they say, sometimes you want a Windows app without having a whole Windows desktop, which
right.
I agree with. Mm-hmm. But then they say, and we have ThinApp for that.
And ThinApp Factory?
Well, we'll get to that in a sec too. But like the question is, if with ThinApp, you know, that only works if it's a Windows device,
right?
Right. And so, and the ThinApp apps are running locally. So it's kind of funny because on the one hand they're talking about Vue. Look at all these advantages of Vue. These advantages are things like, you know, it's obviously all in the data center. But then ThinApp is not, you know, ThinApp running on your device. That's a separate thing. So like I feel like they need a way to complete their story. They need a way to deliver single ThinApp or single Windows apps,
right.
Like seamless Windows
without the desktop,
like Microsoft Remote App or Citrix Seamless
right.
Windows. And that's it. So that's why I'm wondering if maybe this this App Blast is actually that. It's not about the HTML5 client. It's actually about delivering, completing that story and delivering seamless Windows from the data center
right.
to wherever.
Well, we have a request from there that says, stop guessing what App Blast is, get with Warren, and get back to us.
All right.
And so we'll do that.
Fine enough.
Point taken.
So let's see. So let's talk about you mentioned the thin app factory. And the thin app factory is actually we just were approached. We see Brian Gamage here, so I told him we would be recording this show right now, and we said we could get him hooked up and to join us. So we'll pause on thin app factory a second and give you a microphone here. All right, so Brian, start talking for us.
Okay, hi. You got that?
Yeah.
Hear me okay?
Yeah.
Great.
Are you can hear us okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Brian, I don't believe we've met. Gabe Knuth.
Hi, Gabe.
You were at Bryform Europe, right?
That's right. Yes, I did see you, but we didn't talk.
Right.
So, thanks for joining us to chat right now. We've got a few people in our chat room, and whenever you have to jet out of here, just feel free to pop out. So, for those who don't know, I wrote a blog post. You are a VMware employee, but you were previously with Gartner for 20 years?
No, not quite 20 years, Brian. I was with Gartner for about 11 years. I was a research fellow with them. I built most of their research into client computing architectures and virtualization things over a number of years. So I know the space. But I'm now chief market technologist with VMware.
And interestingly, so I only knew you, I don't know if I told you this, we never met before Bryform a couple months ago. I knew you because every startup company I went to, they was trying to talk about how awesome their stuff was. They're like, well, Brian Gamage thinks this, or Brian Gamage says this, or Brian Gamage, you know. And so you're out there. You're out.
I've been involved in a few things over the years. You know, between one thing and another, I think it's 24 years in the industry now. But I think I can say to a degree I know the space. But keep in mind, I'm never going to be in the weeds on the technology. I am the business person. What is business trying to do with end-user computing to make it better?
And how is it going from, as an analyst, you're looking at Citrix and Quest and Microsoft and VMware and everything, and now to be on VMware, like to be an employee there, that means what? How does that change for you?
Ryan, you've been following this space for a long time, right? And you know that we're going through a shift, a seismic shift, like a point of inflection in the maturity of a whole industry, right? And I have sat on the sidelines watching and commentating for 10 years about a shift that should give better end-user computing to everybody, right? I want to be part of the change. And so, sure, okay, I've had to change my channel of communication, but I got on board to be part of that change. And genuinely, I believe I'm in the only place where we can make that change happen, because we are not part of the problem we're trying to solve.
What do you mean by that?
Look, what's the problem with end-user computing today? It's too complex. It's too complex. Look at your poor IT departments on the whole. They're under pressure from, every direction. Budgets. End-user computing is, 25 to 40% total IT budget? That's a large price ticket item, and most of it's operational. And it's never really perceived as giving a marginal benefit. You'll find lots of people here whose organizations, when they go back to base, they're about to migrate operating system, right? They're going to Windows 7. You probably won't find many of them who think they're going to get a more productive workforce as a result of making that change. They're not upgrading to get new, they're upgrading to remove the old.
Because they have to.
Because
yeah.
Old stuff wears out, right?
So when there's an expiration date now. It would in 2014.
Well,
so they have to do it. They feel like they have to do it.
Nothing lasts forever, right? So you heard Paul Moritz yesterday talking about old applications in banks and things like that. I mean, nothing lasts forever. So it's actually helpful to have a planning cycle. But the challenge is that level of cost, the level of risk. Business views end-user computing as being full of inertia. And then, of course, you've got users trying to do things. You've got users trying to do their own things, go around IT. That has to change. We cannot continue the way we're going.
Is there a disconnect between what users want to do and what IT can solve today? And I'm asking this from the context of a lot of what VMware is talking about is about the world beyond Windows and moving, I think Paul said something like, in whatever years it was, 80% of devices will be non-Windows devices. I mean, it seems like from what we're seeing, VMware is very well positioned in the post-Windows world. But what is VMware doing to the desktop space in the next couple of years?
You're back to my comment. We're not part of the problem we're trying to solve. You're absolutely right. The three of us, with just the experience we've had of looking at this space for all this time, we could architect a better end user environment for almost anybody out there right now. Yeah? Couldn't we?
Sure.
The problem is not architecting it, it's getting there. Right now, it's got to be a multi-phase process. You cannot get there overnight. Remember the 25 to 40% of budget? You can't wipe out all those assets.
Yeah, nobody's going to throw them away. Nobody's going to...
You're not talking about technology, really. You're talking about how people work through technology. So what you've got to do is evolve your way there in a progressive fashion. Now, that's what virtualization is at the end of the day. a packaging technology, right? A great packaging technology that makes packages that are easier to deal with, easier to put together, easier to move around. You start deploying more and more of your assets in that kind of packaging technology. Now you're beginning to give yourself the scope to save some money, to invest in the newer applications and bring them in one at a time. You know, application portfolios kind of, they don't really get managed in a very accurate way by most organizations.
Sure.
You know, that is going to be, that's the long tail of Windows applications. It's going to be worked out over multiple years. So the objective really is to have a plan to get there. And we have that too. You didn't kind of see that today. But if you put the pieces together you saw, you'll see how it can go. You know, you repackage your desktop environment, you virtualize where you can. It's not for every application. It's not even for every user, is it? Right, but every user, every application you virtualize, if you do it right, it can save you money. So the key is mapping the technology to the user and mapping the technology to the application. And the other key is always being able to manage the new and the old together. Right, so if you've got a management tool and process that's only working with one package, you can't change the package. And actually, the operational cost, it's all in the actions of those management tools and processes. The minute you can change the package, so for instance, you virtualize some of your applications. Well, if you can't virtualize all of them, that means you've got to live for the next period of deployment, whatever it is, with a mixed environment of virtualized and non-virtualized applications. That's okay if those apps can sit together in your application depot, get served up to everybody through your software distribution tool. Well, isn't that the value proposition of ThinApp?
Well, but ThinApp can't handle applications that can't be virtualized.
But it doesn't matter that you don't virtualize all of your applications, right? If they can coexist, you virtualize some. Just think about regression testing, right? In the process of an operating system migration, you've got 100 applications. The regression testing workload looks like 100 times 99 times 98 times 97. Let's be pessimistic. You know, all the feedback in the marketplace says usually 80% of applications, right? Let's assume you only do 50. Well, you know, now that regression testing looks like 50 times 49 times 48 times 4. That is a lot smaller.
Right.
But the key is we're moving from a one-size-fits-all world into a much more heterogeneous environment. It doesn't all have to be one-size-fits-all. That's how we can help on this journey, by helping right-size the technology to the solution.
One of the things about what VMware is doing in the desktop, so VMware doesn't really do anything with terminal services and delivering single applications out of the data center. So my perception is that VMware kind of ignores the traditional desktops and the traditional laptop users, so you can use ThinApp for applications you can pull into there, but like persona, is that a view only thing? How do you map what you say to kind of the reality of I've got all my users and the traditional users?
So there's two answers to that. So you saw AppBlast this morning, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're not giving all the details on that, but you can see that that also could handle a published application model, just with a much broader sort of delivery audience. And clearly it's part of our Horizon kind of roadmap. But the other piece of this is you've got to remember what we're trying to do. We're trying to get the objective. Nobody deploys a virtual desktop because they want a virtual desktop, right? They deploy a virtual desktop because they want a better desktop, and a better desktop is one that costs less to, you know, in terms of care and feeding. So if you're introducing a component like a persona, clearly you're trying to expand the range of that stateless pooled virtual desktop model, or one that gives the best operational cost savings. You're trying to expand it as far as possible. But if you do that in a way that's not as integrated, that involves you piecing together various parts, isn't that just adding complexity? Aren't you kind of, you can do it, but you're sort of putting together a kludge that takes you away from the direction of what you're actually trying to achieve, which was a simpler desktop. So you know, the key is not to try to do everything at once. I mean, you can add on the components to go a little bit further, but you're always trading off the audience you address against the efficiencies that you're achieving. And what you're really trying to achieve with virtualization in the Windows environment today is an easy environment to manage.
So to that end, are most VMware Vue customers who are in production using linked clones and sharing images across multiple users, or is it one-to-one?
For some time, it has been the most popular deployment model. I mean, you know, from my previous work, I have many thousands of touch points. And I can tell you, you know, across the industry, that's what draws, you know, C-level interest in the virtualization model. What it offers is something really important, right? Diminishing unit marginal costs in operations. That's why everybody wants to add on bits and bring more in. Every user you add costs less than the last one. A PC is not like that, right? It's a constant unit marginal cost. So That's the direction. Everybody wants to do that if they can, but of course, if you've got specific user requirements, it has to be a dedicated model. It doesn't offer the same efficiency advantages. You know, we've got to remember where IT came from, right? It came from automation and standardization, you know, making things simple. You've got to apply those same principles to your virtual desktop if you're going to make it a better desktop.
So for those of us who are sort of watching what VMware is doing now, I mean, there's been a lot of stuff that's been announced. So we've obviously, you know, there's Vue that has progressed over the years, and we can start to do more with that and play more with that. What else do we have to be sort of paying attention to? My job, I'm an IT admin responsible for desktops. What do I need to pay attention to?
So on the one hand, you know, we talked about Vue, you know about ThinApp. That's a way of tidying up the current desktop environment, beginning to free up that cost so you can reinvest. Of course, what we've also put out there is the vision of the things you can reinvest in. That application platform, for want of a better word, although you know it's not really a platform, it's an identity hub that sits in the cloud. The key there is you can wrap your policy around it, and now you can, you know, with the same desktop management envelope, you can manage these SaaS applications and your desktop environment through the same place. That is the bridge to the future. That's why it's the horizon, right? So, and of course, to that, as you saw, we're going to add other packages, other capabilities, data services, etc. Personas. You saw a first step of that, the link between Horizon and the mobile device. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that exciting?
You know,
it's one of the things we like.
Today's intro was very nice. Is this a Horizon mobile device here?
Yes, it is. Just got to turn the phone on.
Incidentally, by this makes for good radio, by the way.
Okay. Everybody, I'm showing Brian and Gabe a demo, and they are interested. You have to trust me on that. They are interested. Right. So look, this is my personal phone. What I've got is a standard phone with a standard environment on it. I'm just going to flick this one icon.
Yeah.
There's my work phone, right? And here's all my work apps in here.
And so you can call from this. Do you have to exit your work phone to go back and dial a phone number, that kind of thing? Or is it all integrated?
You can't have both phones on the same voice channel at the same time.
Okay.
Okay, so, you know, because the virtual phone is a separate phone.
Okay, all together.
Right? Yeah, okay.
Because VMware essentially becomes the Android handset provider. It's just delivering a VM to your Android instead of delivering an LG.
It's the same model, right? It's the same model.
Is there two separate phone numbers in there, or is it like a Google Voice type thing?
It's two plans. It's okay.
Oh, wow, two plans.
So you can keep track of whose data is going to which VM.
What are we doing this for? Let's go about. I always like first principles, right? What are we trying to do? What we're trying to do is we're trying to deal with the fact that you can't control devices, the stuff in people's hands out there. I mean, we know that, right? So you're trying to manage the bit that you need to work with. Manage less, manage it better. And of course, coming under that policy management envelope of Horizon, you know, this thing can be provisioned, deprovisioned.
So I am an Android user. So this is great for me, but the elephant in the room is iOS, right? So there's probably no way to make Horizon Mobile for iOS.
Clearly, you require support from the platform vendor before you do this. That's your answer.
Well said. can I ask you, so the PC over IP, 75% reduction, like I know this is not, you know, your job is not involved in that on a daily basis, but have you used PC over IP and seen with the new stuff, like, does it feel different? Does it feel different in edge cases?
Yes, it does. And this perceived lossless thing. You know, if you must listen to a lot of MP3s, right? And I mean, because I'm an older guy than you guys, right? So, you know, I've been through various media formats with music. And I certainly, you know, initially I stuck all my CDs onto my MP3, right?
Sure.
And you have that opportunity to set different encoding levels, mm-hmm. right? Now, of course, I don't know about you, but I first of all went for the big one, you know, the one that gave me maximum quality. And of course, the reality is my ears are degrading too, so I couldn't actually hear that quality. I just couldn't get as many songs as I wanted on my right. iPod at the time. So what you actually do is you go back and you wind down the level of encoding until it makes no difference that you can perceive. Right? That's one of the things we've done there, and you can drive it down to a much lower level. The other thing we've done is we've really worked on the efficiency of bandwidth use, not when you've just got one PC over IP channel, but when you've got multiple. Because this thing was designed to give performance before, so it hugged everything it was given.
Mm-hmm. Is that big deal, like, and I don't know if this is getting out of your area, but PC over IP being UDP, and then the Vue gateway being a UDP gateway, so you got to have open ports.
We're diving into the weeds too much for me, okay?
So how about this Octopus thing? You know anything about that? This is the other thing that was announced today.
Yeah. Did you think that was cool?
Yeah, but I don't know.
We might, once we know what it is.
Okay, so look, I mean, do you use Dropbox?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Do you transfer work stuff that perhaps you shouldn't through Dropbox? I mean, everybody else does.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So imagine if that sharing capability was within the confines of enterprise policy again. Okay, so now you've
got... But you're still using Dropbox, right?
No, we're not using Dropbox.
Or is it hosted inside, too?
This is a Dropbox competitor, essentially, a corporate-based Dropbox competitor.
Exactly. So what's it have to do with Mozy?
It's not Mozy.
In the blog post today announcing Octopus, it said it was something combined with Zimbra and Mozy.
Yes, well, it uses technologies that go into both of those parts. So Zimbra, as you know, is a web services platform, right? A collaboration suite. That's actually the envelope that brings it in to the policy control.
Okay.
Mozy has some of the file
like
and forwarding
the
and storage technologies. But it's the combination of the two that gives something different.
All right.
So do you get to go to some of the sessions here?
Yeah, we...
Go to Scott Davis's session tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay, he has got a rocking demo of Octopus.
All right, cool.
Just really show you what it can do.
And okay. the idea, I would assume, is that corporations could build this Octopus thing on-premise. I'm sure it could be a hosted provider that could do that. So if I wanted to buy, essentially, call it a corporate version of Dropbox from a company I trust that has policies and promises to keep my data in-country and all that kind of stuff. That's what this is.
And remember, policy is not only about prohibiting and restricting access, it's also about having a full record of what went where. I mean, it's another story, but you must think this as well sometimes. You know, the more I look at it, the more I think security isn't really the big thing. It's actually audit. Right? You don't need to... It's not enough to have a wall to say nobody can get in.
You just want to know what's happening.
You've got to show nobody got in, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, got all of that.
And then it seems like there's a lot of thought being put into how this stuff all kind of hooks together, too. So your Octopus with the data, like we saw on the demos, so you've got the device with data that's running in your VM from your Horizon Mobile, but you click that and it's delivered via App Blast.
So you're back to the Horizon kind of progression of bringing, you know, the progression is taking more and more things out of the desktop environment over time and making them available from this platform that brings together, this hub that brings together services from different locations. Right, and clearly, we're supporting the mobile devices there as well already. That's what you saw this morning with Horizon Mobile. Eventually, desktop as a service goes into that. So the desktop, you know, initially you can probably imagine that, you know, you've got your MacBook here. You'll be accessing Horizon through that. Eventually, the desktop component goes through the Horizon broker. So you can start looking at all of that through the single broker to all of your services.
And again, the same thing. I'm buying that broker from, well, I guess the Horizon broker is as a service from VMware, right?
Today it's only as a service, right? And the reason we've done that is because, you know, we never get our customers to test stuff, right? We do our own testing in-house, and we make sure stuff works before we put it out there. I mean, I think we've got a pretty solid reputation for engineering, right? Not everybody in the end user space can say that. So we are cutting our teeth as to where the issues are, where the tough corners are, where the sharp bits are. I mean, we've not actually had any problems with it so far. Okay, but we need to know. And now there's two things to this. First of all, when we go international, we've got to make sure we can understand what the responsibilities are around data. Okay, so there's, you know, these are big picture things, right? The other thing is clearly we're going to need to support an on-prem version.
And
all on the roadmap.
And with on-prem, that also could extend to or third-party providers.
Look, remember what it is, right? It's a hub. It's a hub. And the hub is, it's giving you a single sign-on and a single point of management of user credentials, but it's almost indifferent as to where things are coming from. So that is, you know, that's really your hybrid, public, private, doesn't matter.
Right. So if we take this back to where the IT pro, the desktop admin of today is, these people probably are working their way to Windows 7, they're trying to deal with just inventorying their apps and figure out, you know, put their mind around stuff. And all this kind of stuff where, you know, some of the stuff is real today. We talked about some of the sort of roadmap stuff and you're looking at devices and different things that can manage and you just do whatever. But I'm just thinking like, I just got to get to Windows 7, man.
Okay, so phase one is exactly that. I mean, you know, Windows XP is wearing out, right? So you've got to move to the new one. Understood, right? This is the time when you're making your next wave of reinvestment. You know, reinvestment in end user tends to be like a stone skipping across the surface of a lake, right? So there's big periods of reinvestment and minor stuff that happens in between. Use this period when you're touching your install base to tidy house as much as possible, to clear up the application portfolio as much as possible so you can begin to reduce that operational cost. So this is the time, right? You're going to repackage all your applications in the migration. This is when you need to virtualize as many as you can. You won't virtualize all, And this is where you've got to get away from one-size-fits-all mentality. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter as long as both packages fit with the existing plumbing.
Right. So I can put as many as I can in ThinAmp or whatever it's going to be.
Remember my regression testing thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, there's immediate savings, there's operational cost savings. You have this mixed application package environment. You virtualize as many desktops as you can. This is going to be enough. Right, enough for most people in the next couple of years. Now, in the background, of course, when you go through that application review, one thing that everybody needs, you know, if you're responsible for supporting the infrastructure that runs applications in an organization, you have to have control over the rules about what those applications look like. Right? You can't be kind of rationalizing your application portfolio and cleaning it up to make them less integrated and sort of less complex. If somebody else somewhere else in the organization is throwing new applications onto the platform for you to support, because you're not in control of your own destiny then. So everybody needs rules for what kind of what applications look like, and those rules should be basically specifying that we're not deploying applications that next time we migrate operating system, because there probably will be a next time, we don't have to do all of this work again.
How about in the user environment? I can use ThinApp for my traditional desktops alongside my traditional applications. Can I use Persona for my traditional desktops?
Persona's not that full. That is not that function today. No, I mean, we're back to what I said before. The objective is to have a better desktop, so it's integrated with Vue. You know, it's something. I know we get challenged on this occasionally. We're a little bit more integrated. Well, you know what? Integrated means there's less instrumentation, there's less going wrong, there's fewer moving parts, and there's lower operational cost. What was the objective?
One of our folks in the chat room is asking about the client hypervisors. Excuse me. So I know before you were VMware, VMware had the CVP project. I don't know. I'm sure you had opinions on that, you know, for your customers. But VMware sort of canceled that or backburnered it or wherever. Is that now a hole in VMware's sort of entire story?
I don't think so. I mean, look, you know, there is no other client hypervisor success in the market, is there, right now? I think the reality about a hypervisor on a client is that it's kind of almost the ultimate commodity. I mean, you don't want to know that the hypervisor's there. You want it to be invisible. You just need it to do its stuff, right? So the whole issue is that you don't want to buy a PC and download a hypervisor and reinstall environments and things on top.
It needs
to come in the box.
What's Horizon Mobile?
Horizon Mobile is not a Type 1, is it?
So I guess that would be more like VMware Vue local mode.
We have plenty of history in Type 2s.
Incidentally, what is the... and this is
where we started the company, right?
Well, no, yeah, that makes sense. And the line's kind of blurring between Type 1 and Type 2 as far as the value of that on a client.
Well,
and
look at what we actually need to do in the reality of the mobile environment. We can't assume control over the base layer on the device. We have to come at it afterwards. We're always acting after the event. So... architecturally, as somebody who's kind of studied this academically and been engaged for years with people discussing it, I like the principle of a Type 1. It's just impracticable for the industry.
So do you think the type 2 and like the Vue local mode is sort of the future for offline Windows desktops and the sort of the entire VMware portfolio?
My instinct is probably it's a limited edge case, because I think that if I'm sending something backwards and forwards over the network, you know, something with a full operating system in it is probably too big for the Windows environment. The mobile environment's different. It doesn't have that baggage of scale. Okay, so long term, I think the solution is probably something that looks much more like a sealed type persona thing. But we're not there yet. Nobody has that works in the right way today. It's not out there.
So, I guess that's about it. I think that's...
Yeah, I mean, what was on... So, we're trying... to, so this ask, is actually new for us. We're trying to watch the chat and talk.
Oh yeah.
And
that's cool.
Reading and talking.
Our topic. Guys,
really
I'll breathe a second. No problem.
What? so, ask him if his machine is VDI.
I have multiple machines. And, of course, I have a Vue machine, which I access remotely through a number of devices.
And do you find, I guess the advantage of that is that's sort of an option for you. And if you have your applications in a central application store and you've got your persona, then you can use that as you want, use all the things you want, but wherever you go there, I mean, your data is there.
I've got to say, I mean, I've never been as device independent as I am now. right? And I mean, it's not like I don't understand this stuff. I've just never been, as an employee, I've never been this device independent. Now, one thing to say, you know, got to remember this, right? We're a younger company. We don't have as long a tail of Windows applications as most. So actually, a lot of our applications are already quite device independent. But you bet I have one, yeah.
Okay. Somebody mentioned Mocha 5, and actually, you could probably mention, I hate your scroll. Brian has Lion, and he's put on the intuitive scroll option that's like an iPad, and so I can't keep track of things. People are mentioning other client hypervisors. The Mocha 5 has bare metal. Virtual Computer has arguably the best Type 1 client hypervisor package out there with real customers and actual production implementations and things. And what's your thought on those guys?
Look, I mean, just because you can doesn't mean it's a success in the marketplace. Like, we're back to the challenge here is the users don't want to see. You know, the best thing about a client hypervisor is you don't know it's there, right? So it has to ship in the box. And none of these has gained any traction. None of them has gained any traction. There's options to do it. There have been options around for quite a while. Okay? None of them have gained any traction. If it's visible, it's too intrusive.
So let me ask you, changing gears a little bit, you're walking around the floor. I know it's still sort of early in the grand scheme of things from the VMworld conference, but have you seen any booths of any vendors that look interesting here that maybe you haven't heard about? Or outside of VMware, what are you looking at?
Yeah, you know what? That's where I'm going next, right? I mean, it took me about 15 minutes to find you, so I would have been here sooner.
We are all the way in the back.
It's also a massive show floor. There's, you know, who knows how many thousands of people milling around. Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot happening here. Yeah, there's some things I want to go and look at in a little bit more depth. And you know what? There's a lot of people I've known for a long time I'm going to go and say hello to.
So what's the most exciting technology for you now, like in the context of IT and desktops?
What's the most exciting technology? I have to say the thing that's excited me most in a long time is the whole Horizon program. Simply because it's the escape vector. It's the way to get out of where we're stuck now. Right? And, you know, that's no criticism of where we are now. If I go back, I used to work in hardware companies, right? In R&D and hardware companies, you know. And if I go back to the mid-1990s, the problem was making all those diverse apps work with diverse hardware. And to fix the problems, we made big, thick operating systems. And now it seems like most organizations' problems are dealing with big, thick operating systems. You know, we got to get to a better place. And I think this, you know, Horizon is the bridge to that future. It's the way of reducing that complexity, that overhead of the things we've got now but that are still mission critical. And the most important, I don't know, the thing I like about it most is that if you look at that, you know, for example, the Windows 7 migration, it's going to be a massive project for most organizations, right? Whatever else they've got to spend on, they're going to be spending on that, right, as well. So it's going to consume budget and resources. So, you know, wouldn't it be better to be able to make your reinvestment in end user a piece at a time instead of in whole enormous lumps? Well, Horizon promises that too. It's a kind of, you know, your journey at your own pace.
Is that, you talk about the skipping stone across the pond. I mean, you think we can get to the point where, you know, we're a stone that's surfing across it instead of bounce, bounce, bounce?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I think in practice it's still going to be very little bounces, but, you know, I'm being pedantic, right? Yes, I do. And that's going to be better for, you know, the way most IT organizations are staffed up, for the way they want to spend their money, okay, and for also just for the way they want to approach technology in general. So, you know, the way we see this, and you've seen the what this morning, right? So, you know, part of what I'm doing is the how. Because like I said, we could all architect a better environment. It's getting there from where we are now. Right? We think this is a journey that organizations can make at their own pace. And it's always going to be their journey. You know, as we move from a one-size-fits-all world to this world where you really can give each individual the technology they want, or, you know, multiple types of technology, as long as you're controlling their access to applications and data in the way you need to, then it's much more heterogeneous. So every organization's journey is going to be different. Oh, it's exciting. I mean, that's why Horizon's the bridge to the future.
You know, Horizon, for me, we were talking ahead of time. I think Brian wrote an article, a preview, and about what we were looking for when we came to VMworld this year. And I mean, for me, it's Horizon. Vue 5, you know, came out, and it's just, I mean, it's what we expected. Horizon has that kind of future buzz around it that that I want to see.
Well, yes, but I mean, the Vue and the thin app pieces are still critical because, just as Brian was saying before, you know, you've got to go through the migration now. You can't start working. You know, end user computing is not just new technology; it's how people work, right? So, and in some cases, those old applications that organizations are using, they're going to have to carry on using them for quite a long time. So, a good containment and simplification strategy is what they need.
Well, there was years ago, it was, and I don't mean eons ago, I mean two or three, pre-Horizon, pre-Open Cloud, pre-Centrix, all these products out there that are now trying to integrate regular Windows applications and cloud applications and things like that. People were still saying that we were going to go to cloud apps, but there was no way to get there. It was going to be, you have to throw your PC out, and now you have to do this. And now there's a way to get there.
It's not a rip and replace. You're absolutely right. And look, the rule in being able to evolve your infrastructure, and it's got to be evolution, not revolution, the rule is always that the new thing fits with the existing plumbing, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what you've seen from us all the way down the line. So, you know, the Vue market really appeared. I mean, Brian knows we've had this conversation before. I struggle to call it VDI just because I focus on the desktop, not the infrastructure, right? So, you know, that market really blossomed when we released the first version of Vue that had, or VDI as it was at the time, that had an AD-compatible broker, right? So now you could manage the desktop, the physical and the virtual desktop with all the same plumbing. You know, the same rule for ThinApp. Now, don't make a more complex package. It doesn't matter how much it sings and dances. If it doesn't fit with the existing plumbing, it costs more to use. Horizon, right? You've got another hub, this platform, this point of entry for all of your applications. Because you wrap it with your enterprise policy, it looks like part of what you've got now. It's exactly the same principle, and that's why it's a manageable journey.
Well, and that helps change the it's a philosophical thing too, because you tell an organization, we're going to go to this in the future, and they say, like hell, you know, you're not going to take my stuff and change it. But now that they have a path, and now that they can just wrap their minds around that actual process, that's a big deal.
Well, even look at the long-term prospect for the Windows application. I mean, the reality is every organization's got, you know, Windows applications that were written 10 years ago by some student in their summer vacation. You know, and who knows what they wrote it in? They left no documentation. But right now, it keeps this department talking to that department, and it's mission critical. You know, that needs to be carried forward for quite a long time. So it's important to have that containment strategy. We can see how that works. You know, today, it's a Vue desktop. As that desktop environment whittles down and becomes easier to handle and lower operational cost, now that can be served up as a service into Horizon in the same way.
Horizon, I know this is sort of the overall brand, and it includes what we saw with Horizon App Manager, which was right now.
Well, Horizon App Manager is the platform in the first place. It's the hub for SaaS.
Okay, and then, now is it that same Horizon App Manager is what can also go out to the thin app?
The mechanism. If you think what the platform looks like from the user and from admin's point of view, you've got policy control over the things that are available in this catalog. And the user sees a catalog, right? And enterprise is controlling what goes into the catalog. It's kind of like an enterprise app store, which is something, you know, everybody seems to want. What we're saying is we are expanding the range of what can go into that app store. So that's what App Blast is.
This is something, I don't know if it's, well, yeah, that's, and it's funny, we were talking about App Blast a lot and kind of like hypothesizing in the chat room there, like, just don't talk about that until we find out what the hell it is first. But that is, I mean, App Blast is the answer to, as you were saying earlier, single apps without Windows desktop. You just need a Windows app.
Right, that's where you can pull them out. And
so you're
and
back to you're
some.
Back to the whole, you know, this is the approach, right? So tidy house, and then that's phase one. Phase two is now start, you know, embrace the cloud, right? Now you've got somewhere to move things out to, and then gradually complete your escape at your own speed, which, you know, in many cases is going to be into the next decade, right? Because of the life of those applications.
Sure. Are people, and this is kind of changing topics a little bit, but you mentioned earlier about the using Vue, and you're talking about costs and how, are people using Vue and data center hosted desktops or whatever, you know, hosted virtual desktops, are they using that to save money today? Or are they using that because they've got other security requirements or performance or whatever?
It's never a one-size-fits-all answer, right? The market was born as kind of secure remote access. It was a shortcut to server-based computing. I mean, server-based computing kind of never really fully delivered on the promise because you usually end up with some applications local and some server-based, which was kind of more bits to manage, right? It was a shortcut. You picked the desktop up, you moved it in-house, and you got secure remote access. That market has evolved into the promise of the stateless pool model, right? And the stateless pool model is all about driving down operational cost. The challenge, of course, is that, you know, you've got that point where you have to replace the infrastructure, so the capital, with different type of capital to support that, you know, that the opportunity to get that saving. So there is a price of entry, but that's why you do it when you make other changes to the environment.
You have that when you're paying
for
it anyway.
You know, if you're just looking at buying, you know, Vue against buying nothing, the price looks high. If you're looking at Vue versus just replacing the stuff you've got now, that's the time to do it. And in terms of the way enterprises invest, that's the way it happens. But, you know, long answer. The simple answer is yes. But yeah, you know, I kind of pointed the principle earlier, and you saw what I, you know, you smiled, you saw where I was going to with that. The objective is a better desktop. If you start bolting on extra bits around it, you're going to lose that better aspect of being lower cost. You know, it costs less in terms of care and feeding, right? You're going to lose that pretty quickly. You don't want to dilute that away.
There's a lot of talk about the fact that the word desktop means so many different things. I know Scott Davis, in his presentation at Bri Forum, I think the way he said it was really good, because he kind of described that we use the word desktop to describe the physical screen with the window manager, and it's the application framework, and it's the target against which your policies are applied, and it's all these different things.
Yep.
Historically, that has been a Microsoft Windows product that was the desktop.
Yeah.
But now we're looking at the desktop as more of a philosophical concept of where your personality and your data and your applications come together.
There are all sorts of words kicking around. I mean, probably what we really need to call it is something like a workspace. Because, you know, the desktop came out. I mean, if you heard Paul Moritz say yesterday, right? We automated the office in the 1970s. That's what it is, right? Files and folders, inboxes, outboxes, all that kind of stuff, right? That's what it is. That's not the way we work today. So we need a workspace that can follow us around, that gives us the stuff we need. But the stuff we need is often about, you know, the way you work together.
Mm-hmm. So Harry Labana, Citrix CTO for desktop, now AppSens CTO, he did a session at Bri Forum in London where he said that he believes that Windows 7 will be the last major Windows version that companies adopt. This whole thing we're doing now to get from XP and forklift to 7, next time that happens, 5-10 years, we're going to be past that.
So, I mean, I already said that I believe that, you know, Windows apps are going to be around in some organizations into the next decade. You know, so if you take the average organization, divide the number of employees by 10, that's usually how many desktop apps they have, right? That long tail is going to take a long time to wind down. And, you know,
but we don't need Windows 10 or Windows 9 for that, right?
Right. I would say, remember the life cycle. The life cycle is pretty predictable. It's probably the best thing they've given the industry is predictable planning around the investment cadence, right? If you look at the life cycle, there's going to need to be updates and other releases. Now, the question is, how big are those releases going to be? We can't say that. I mean, they have the same problem, you know. I mean, the previous release of Windows wasn't exactly a spectacular success as they wanted because it was too hard to move to. I mean, they have to make it easier to move between versions of their operating systems as well. And that suggests it's not going to be a major generational change.
Well, and that's why XP to 7, forgetting about Vista, is a big deal. 7 to 8 doesn't look like it's going to be that big of a migration. At this point, it would be more like Windows 2000 to XP than XP to Windows 7.
Right.
So, and I don't think that Harry means that Windows 7 is the last Windows OS anybody will use, but that this is the last kind of generation of Windows.
But
there won't be another evolution of Windows that we'll move to eventually.
But we're back to the whole, you know, the whole sort of model is changing. You know, I made the comment before, you know, my history, right, of, you know, big operating systems to deal with the complexities of apps and hardware. Now, that's not the scenario now. Actually, the operating system did us a wonderful favor, didn't it? It commoditized the hardware, right? I mean, really, I mean, the hardware industry is not a nice place to be right now.
Sure.
Although it gives us lots more choice.
Right.
Okay, not dive into that. What we're doing to a certain extent with the access mechanisms we have for applications coming from different places, we're down doing the same to the layer below. Mm-hmm. And
sure.
Isn't that all the technology, all the things we're talking about, containing, making it less complex, eliminating the cost of integration? So absolutely, you know, the future is smaller, not bigger.
Sure.
Another question from a user is, and this is jumping back to a topic we were talking about earlier, about the integration and how tight it is, or how important it is to have good integration amongst all these different things you're doing in ways, so like Persona integrated with Vue and that kind of stuff. What does that mean for partners? Because VMware is big on the partner thing, so the more that VMware does, does VMware want to integrate with these things that partners are doing, or is VMware, build the direction.
So let's stay with the persona argument. I mean, we've done a lot of research as to, you know, which persona third-party solution works in. And you know what? We find they all have different use cases, right? So if we're talking to a customer who has a specific problem, you know, in terms of the way their images load or a particular requirement from their users, then one of those partners is usually the right solution for them today. Would it be better for us to have a single integrated approach that does all of it at once? Yes.
Can you build that?
Can I build it? You know I'm not an engineer. Okay. But you know, would it be better for us to have that? Would that be an aspiration? Yeah. But you know, the fact that we've got so many bright people out there in the industry dealing with it from different directions kind of suggests it's not an easy solution. Right? And you know that the long-term desire here is to extend the deployment model of the stateless pool desktop into, well, probably every fixed location user, right? Every desktop
sure.
user. And you can't do that until you can deal with local peripherals and local local applications. And nobody can do that today, not without breaking the model or adding to complexity.
So let's take some final thoughts. I guess, first of all, I want to ask you, are you giving any presentations here?
Yeah, I gave it yesterday, though, I'm afraid, Brian. You missed it.
Oh, dang. I'm sure it's on video. What was your topic?
I talked about defining the journey to better end-user computing. All the things I talked about, the phases of evolution and how these pieces fit together. Like I said, I'm the how.
Thank you for giving
for
that
the
again.
What.
Just now.
Yeah. Thank you for your repeat session here for us.
Well, you only got a bit of it. I was an hour yesterday.
But I'm sure we can see that and you know we're nerds on this show, and so we've
yeah, you guys are more technical than me, you know that.
However,
a lot of people more technical than us too.
If I Google image search for your name, will I or will I not find you running a marathon dressed as a Jedi?
You will.
That's amazing.
Okay, you know, we all have to do something for charity.
Plus 5 awesome points.
Okay, thank you, Brian.
Just right there. Yeah. So Brian, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today. I know there's a lot of people that had a bunch of questions they were able to ask, and I really appreciate you doing that. And it's funny, when you were Gartner, we had no interaction whatsoever. But I like that, you know, we've been able to hang out a few times, and hopefully you'll keep us posted.
We'll do it again. You were always the other Brian, so I'm sure you feel exactly the same, right? Guys, thanks very much. Pleasure to be here.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
So we've got a few minutes left, right? And we've got a list of stuff. I think we touched on quite a bit of it.
Well, that's what's kind of amazing about this, because I know that, so we put our list together of all the VMware things we wanted to talk about, all the VMware desktop announcements. So we have Vue 5 is on our list, what's happening with Horizon, the App Blast,
Octopus,
the MVP, yep. Yeah, you know, the Persona.
MVP, that was really compelling radio. That was while we watched Brian use his phone.
But it's amazing, though, because... But, I mean, everything was covered, though. I mean,
Persona.
I mean, everything that we wanted to talk about was...
Even PC over IP bandwidth improvements. We're reading our list here, going over things that we wanted to talk about, and we just talked about them all with Brian Gamage here.
Yeah.
Actually, we watched as Brian Gamage talked about them. in a good way, though.
Yeah, I mean, so it's... But this is kind of wild, because it does show that there's a lot of integration between... everything they're doing in terms of at least the messaging. I mean, everything that they have kind of all ties together around this one core theme. So, I don't know, pick it apart. What do you like? What don't you like?
Well, I definitely want to go. I wish that we could see Warren Ponder walking around so we could just drag him over here and stick a headset on him. And maybe we can do that tomorrow.
We're doing a show again at the same time tomorrow.
Yeah. So maybe we can do that then. It would be great to get Noah maybe on to talk about Horizon. And now he's probably a pretty busy guy, as is Warren, so maybe this won't happen. But
the good news, though, is Noah lives in the Bay Area, mm-hmm. And Warren lives in the middle of, BFE,
Idaho. Yeah.
But
everybody has Skype.
Yeah, exactly. And so we can do this all, we can find them via Skype. And, I mean, Warren, I've seen Warren more in the Bay Area than I have anywhere else even. So we can get him on to find out how that stuff works.
We'll talk to them at some point. I mean, we're going to go make the effort at least to try to find these guys and talk to somebody about how this stuff works. And so that we can talk about tomorrow. We can talk to Warren and Noah in person later if we can't find them now. You've got sessions.
Yeah, I do. I've got a session this afternoon and a session again tomorrow.
And today is Terminal Server versus VDI?
Yeah, and it's a repeat session tomorrow.
Okay. So you have the same session twice.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Well.
But did I tell you the story about that? Like, I submitted 3 sessions to VMworld, which is kind of a dumbass move on my part. Because at VMworld, I think 2 years ago, last time I spoke, I was actually rated the number 1 session. and like across all the sessions at VMworld. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would get that anymore, because now we have like guys.
Was all, it for TS versus VDI?
All the guys who beat me at Vry Forum are also here now, right? Like Ruben and Jeroen and all this kind of stuff. So the point is, though, I probably had enough capital mm-hmm. momentum going in that I could have spoken on whatever I wanted, but I proposed a few kind of far out sessions. And then I was really nervous the last minute. I'm like, oh, what if I don't get accepted? That's going to be weird. And so I put in this like safety session, the TS versus VDI.
And this is something, I mean, I've seen you give this before, but it evolves as time goes by. We gave it together, Synergy. And it's one of those things that evolves a little bit, because your soapbox issues and your viewpoints change as things change.
They do. And what I talk about for TS versus VDI is very different now.
Did you hear about anything today or in the last week that's going to make you change some of your slides?
Okay, you know what? Let me tell you this. Probably people are not listening to this who are actually at VMworld, but I think I'm going to give a very different session tomorrow than maybe I would today, because I've got the session right now in it's like an hour and a half.
Right.
And so my slides are in, like, they're loaded on the computer at the podium. Like, I don't know if I can change slides at this point.
Oh, okay.
And for the most part, like, I don't think too much is changing, but, you know, like, this app blast that's kind of going, you know, single app out of VDI sort of changes. Although, I don't know, I'll probably just run through it
the TS versus VDI both being part of desktop virtualization, but the reasons for adoption are different for either one. You're right, the app blast changes the TS a little bit, but we don't know enough about the back end of how App Blast works, because if you still have to manage that in a hosted virtual desktop, then
But if you can do that in a way that's the shared images.
Yeah.
Then like it's no harder to manage than Terminal Server. And hell, it might be easier.
Unless it's one desktop per person still, and then there's some overhead there that doesn't exist with Terminal Server, because it's a lot easier to deploy that when it's sessions on one server.
I don't care about overhead though anymore with everything being virtual.
It's about complexity, not overhead.
I don't even know about that, because I don't have the complexity of dealing with Terminal Server. I've got the freedom to move my sessions, user, live migrate them around.
Yeah.
And frankly, I was telling someone that, you know, what's nice is however many IOPS Windows 7 requires, mm-hmm. whatever that number is, right? That's not changing as we go forward in the next like 5 years or so. Yet with Moore's Law, the amount of dollars per IOP is like cutting in half every, you know, 2 years or whatever.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, you know, can you quite do it? Is it the overhead? I don't know. And granted, that also applies to Terminal Server, but we get like towards like diminishing returns, where I think at some point it's like, yeah, the overhead of running separate VDIs for all those users isn't going to matter that much.
They're going to have to combine somewhere. VDI is going to have to overtake Terminal Server somewhere. I mean, they're running on the same physical server hardware, so Terminal Server is always going to have that density edge. But there's got to be other factors that make
it. Well,
so
and look
VDI
at like functionality. I mean, right? Like if I'm a VMware customer, obviously Vue is way better than on VDI than what they can do with Terminal Server. Look at it like if I buy SA, I don't have to buy like I got the licenses I need. Like the TS, I still have to buy TS.
Yeah,
Cal.
That's right. Yep.
Even if I have SA, I need to buy a TS Cal. That's 100 and whatever it is per user.
Yeah, that's true. So even if it is more complex on the side of I've had to stand up more machines. Or virtual machines, then maybe it's more complex on the other side, like you say, with licensing.
Yeah, you could potentially screw your model on that with the cost right there.
Right.
You could,
well, and this is how you use that cost model, because you can just ignore those features.
Yeah, I'm not giving
did
my...
Did you submit that one?
I believe I did actually. No. I submitted my consumerization of IT session, and I submitted my sort of state of the desktop virtualization industry.
If I'm not mistaken, your How to Lie with Cost Models article that you wrote a few years ago was in response to VMware releasing a cost model. So maybe if you would have submitted it, they wouldn't have accepted it anyway.
Well, right, yeah. So I don't know. I think next year I'll just, you know, create one session, go all the way for it.
Yeah.
So hey, we've got the best of VMworld judging. That's happening, you know, right now. Gabe, you and I once again are sort of judging the desktop category.
Right.
I'll tell you, I'm not going to disclose anything yet. We got to narrow it down to two.
Yeah.
And it's.
So we've got we've interviewed one. We're going to go interview another. So the person that we talked to today, if you're listening, you know who you are.
Yeah.
So yeah, we have to go talk to the other one, and then we're just going to. I don't know, probably grab lunch and figure out, you know, who's our winner.
And so for all of you listening, send us via tweets. Just hit us up via Twitter. Send me an email, brian@brianmadden.com, about what you want us to find and who you want us to talk to. We're going to try and find a couple more folks to talk to tomorrow. Maybe we can grab Ruben or Sean Bass or Ruben Vandekamp or something.
You know, so Sean has a session going on right now that we're doing this, so we couldn't go see it. But he's actually going to dive into the PC over IP improvements and see. And he's going to put it through the Sean Bass filter, right? So this is why I would like to see this, I think, more than I want to see the PC over IP improvement demo in the VMware booth. Hopefully it's videoed. Maybe he's giving it again. Maybe we can just get Sean on here to talk about.
Sneak Justin in with a little camera.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
All right, hey, we are out of time, and I got to go roll and get started for my session. So
awesome.
All who listen, thank you so much, and we'll see you back here 23 hours from now.
Awesome. Thanks.